Let us pray. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee.
Almighty God, whose kingdom is everlasting and power infinite, have mercy upon the whole church, and so rule the heart of thy chosen servant, Elizabeth, our queen and governor, that she, knowing whose minister she is, may, above all things, seek thy honour and glory, and that we and all her subjects, duly considering whose authority she hath, may faithfully serve, honour, and humbly obey her, in thee and for thee, according to thy blessed word and ordinance, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Risen Christ, you filled your disciples with boldness and fresh hope. Strengthen us to proclaim your risen life and fill us with your peace, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Today's reading is John 21, verses 1 to 19. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, We'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, Friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, It is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, It is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment round him, for he'd taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 metres. When they landed, they saw a fire burning coals, and there were fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, Bring some of the fish you have just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, and even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, Come, have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, Who are you? For they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish, which was now a third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to me, "Follow me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And so we declare our faith together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory, to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. I would invite you to check out the website for all up-to-date notices. And should you not already be a church member donating by Bax, if you would like to make an offering, you may do so on the parish website. Thank you.
Brief tangent. I don't know if you recall or have seen the film Edward Scissorhands. In this film, the main character, funnily enough, Edward Scissorhands, is an unfinished creation. He's a person who lacks fingers and, as you might have guessed or remembered, has scissors in place of his fingers and his thumbs. One of the best lines in the movie is when one of the characters says, "But if you had regular hands, you'd be like everyone else." Said in a way to assume that it would be better if he had normal hands like everyone else. But Edward is different, and like all of us, he is not without his flaws. Edward is not wholly suited to the world in which he finds himself, a world where sensitive manual dexterity is taken for granted. He's also entirely under-socialised and doesn't understand the normal customs and ways of behaviour. In one scene, he's invited to eat with the family with whom he has moved in, and his struggles to use the cutlery and eat the peas matches his inability to hold sway in the conversation. Edward is a fish out of water and mistakes are made. That scene rather reminded me of our reading today. Peter is perhaps a little like Edward, and I'll try and explain a little of what I mean by that. The scene as it first arises suggests to me that the disciples are experiencing a sense of confusion and a lack of direction. Peter, as befits the leader, makes the decision to go fishing. We don't know why he suggests this, there may have been a very real financial need, it's likely that some of those who had been supporting Jesus fell away, at least temporarily, and took any financial resources with them. It may also have been because fishing came naturally to Peter, it was perhaps his go-to activity. However, it does feel relevant that Peter is returning to what he did before he met Jesus, almost as if he's picking up his old life again, and perhaps starting to close the door on his life as a disciple. Intrinsically, to us as 21st century readers, and with the benefit, of course, of 2,000 years of hindsight, this feels wrong, and this feeling seems justified when the disciples fail to catch any fish. Alan Cohen, an author and motivational speaker, said this: "It takes a lot of courage to release the familiar and seemingly secure, to embrace the new, but there is no real security in what is no longer meaningful. There is more security in the adventurous and exciting, for in movement there is life, and in change there is power." I wonder how that felt to Peter and the others. On not catching any fish, was there a sense of, I can't even do this right? Or perhaps the decision to try to fish felt wrong from the very start, and so there was a feeling of, I knew it. Certainly, as I grow in my faith, I try to listen to God a little more. You may have heard me say previously, but I don't think I've ever heard the voice of God as a sort of separate and distinct voice in the same way that characters in the Bible do. Instead, I sometimes get a feeling, a sense of encouragement or discouragement over a course of action. I think I'm getting slightly better at picking this out. Not that I can pick out lottery numbers or anything like that, but perhaps that I'm just a little bit less headstrong and more likely to listen. So, at this stage of our reading, the whole fishing idea feels like a mistake, a closed door, and a further source of disappointment. What now? Well, of course, we know what now. Jesus appears and tells the disciples to cast the net over the other side of the boat. Interestingly enough, the disciples do not recognise Jesus at first. Obviously, this is not the only time that Jesus has not been recognised, and you'll probably know the story of Jesus meeting disciples on the road to Emmaus, and indeed John spoke about that reading just last week. It could be that the disciples just do not quite expect to see him, and so their minds are looking for alternative explanations. Although, of course, this is not the first time that Jesus has appeared to the disciples after his resurrection. A more likely explanation would seem to be that Jesus has changed in some profound way, and how and why this might easily be a subject for an entirely different speaking. Of course, once the advice of Jesus at this stage just a stranger is taken, then the mistake is rectified, and not just rectified, but made better than could ever have been thought before. Not only are there fish, but there are huge numbers, and even so, the nets do not break as you would expect that they might do. There is a message here for our own lives. Following Jesus, listening to his guidance, opens up the bounty of life, even if it's not quite in the way we always expect. In today's reading, the difference is stark: no fish or 153 fish. And of course, Peter and the disciples are about to leave behind their lives as fishermen once again. You're probably aware that this passage is meant as a reference to the future success of the disciples and the success that they will have in spreading the gospel message. At the most obvious level, 153 is a huge number of fish for such a seemingly humble fishing venture. Likewise, the early apostles and their followers will enjoy similarly spectacular success. Who would have guessed that the unbreakable net would spread as far as Chipstead? There are a number of reasons suggested as to why the number of fish caught was 153, but one of my favourites is that at the time of writing it was felt that there were 153 species of fish in the world. And so this reflects the capture of all possible fish. Once you consider the metaphor again for the disciples and the faithful, then to my eyes at least, you have a reference to the all-encompassing love of God. Not only will the church be big, but it will be open to all. I must admit that as a Christian, sometimes we haven't always got this right. As one of my friends from my life group said the other day, sometimes people think the church is overly conservative and only caters to those who fit a certain stereotype. However, this cannot and indeed must not be true. Jesus did not turn anyone away. He challenged and he rebuked, but nobody was denied his love. Our church is open to all, and the salvation of Christ is addressed to everyone. For what it's worth, my view, and perhaps holding no formal position in the church other than general dog's body, I can speak perhaps a little more freely. My view is that God doesn't really care about our gender, our ethnicity, our sexuality, or any abilities or disabilities we might have. I also wonder if he laughs a little at the idea of age, since we are all children of God and since he strides through eternity. Rather, I think it's how we choose to worship God and reflect God's love, and above all, our ability to accept the salvation earned for us that counts. It's a terrible thing when, as Christians, we act in unchristian ways. Billy Graham once said, "A real Christian is a person who can give his pet parrot to the town gossip." It's a very funny but also a very lively image. The second part of our reading concerns the rehabilitation of Peter. I'm sure you know that this reflects Peter's denials of Jesus before his crucifixion. In this part of the Gospel, Peter denies Christ three times before the rooster finishes crowing on Good Friday. Here, Peter is given the opportunity to confirm his love of Jesus three times, and is also given the commission to feed his lambs and to look after his sheep, and feed his sheep as well indeed. Peter also receives a prediction regarding his own death. Once again, we have themes of mistakes and inclusion. Peter has made an error, albeit a necessary one, to ensure that Jesus was wholly abandoned on the cross, but it's a huge error. When the chips were down, and following Jesus meant ridicule, dishonour, possibly torture and death, Peter took the easy route out. All this despite him being naturally hot-headed. I imagine that hurt Peter quite a lot. Peter's not like everyone else, and nor is he at this point in the story the finished article. Now, he has the opportunity to make amends, and as Christian tradition holds, he will face crucifixion himself, albeit crucifixion upside down. When the time comes, he will declare that he does not feel worthy to be crucified in the same way as Christ, and that he wishes to suffer more. Peter's rehabilitation is complete, and he's not only included in what happens next, the formation of the early church, but he's the rock on which, of course, it is all based. So, at the start of the reading, he is arguably confused, acutely aware of his recent shortcomings in the courtyard at Jerusalem, and having had an absolutely terrible night trying to catch fish. Not so very different to Edward Scissorhands at the dinner table. By the end of our reading, he's revived and renewed. The journey ahead of him is far from easy and will involve suffering. But he has his purpose, and he knows for certain that he belongs again to Christ. Alan Redpath said, "The Christian life doesn't get easier as one gets older." And certainly that appears to be the case, perhaps for Peter, maybe for all of us. Let me finish by mentioning Edward Scissorhands again. He is so very different, and that difference can seem like the most important thing, and it can seem like quite a negative thing. However, by the end of the film, we learn that there are things that Edward can do that nobody else can manage quite as well, even if that's haircuts and topiary, and quite frankly, we all need haircuts at the moment. But also, Edward's history and background, even the mistakes he makes, does not mean that he should be denied love, either the giving or the receiving of love. So what do we take from all this? Well, let me leave you with three things. Firstly, let's recognise that we all make mistakes, and sometimes they're big ones, and sometimes it's the same mistake made repeatedly. That's not okay, none of that is okay, but thanks to Jesus, nor is it terminal either. Secondly, let's celebrate the breadth of God's love. None of us are denied simply because of who we are or what we have done. All are called to his table. Surely we must show that same breadth of love to our neighbours. And finally, we're all pieces of God's great feast. Some of us are quite different, but then in a feast, you don't really want the dessert to taste like a fish course. But also, maybe that's because we all have a unique job to do in showing God's love and declaring Christ's gospel. We can each do so in a different and wonderful way. And I wish you that blessing in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where the rust and moth doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither rust nor moth doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Father, all things come of thee, and of thine own do we give thee. Let us pray for the whole state of Christchurch Militant here in earth. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all people, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to accept our alms and oblations and to receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity and concord. And grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to save and defend all Christian kings, princes and governors, and specially thy servant Elizabeth our queen, that under her we may be godly and quietly governed. And grant unto her whole council and to all that are put in authority under her, that they may truly and impartially minister justice to the punishment of wickedness and vice, and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests, and deacons, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people, give thy heavenly grace, and specially to this congregation here present and online, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succour all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. And in a moment of silence, we lift up before God those he has particularly laid on our hearts as needing prayer at this time. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace so to follow their good examples, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate.
Amen.
Ye that do truly and earnestly repent you of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God, meekly kneeling upon your knees. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us. The burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honour and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him. Have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying, and worthy of all to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear also what St. John saith. If anyone sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto our Lord God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, that chiefly are we bound to praise thee, because thou didst raise him gloriously from the dead. For he is the true paschal lamb who was offered for us, and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord Most High. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And we join together in the prayer of humble access. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs unto thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute, and in his holy gospel command us to continue, a perpetual memory of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. Who in the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of this. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me.
Amen.
O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, grant us thy peace. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for thee, preserve thy body and soul into everlasting life. Take and eat this, in remembrance that Christ died for thee, and feed on him in thy heart, by faith, with thanksgiving.
Amen.
The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for thee, preserve thy body and soul into everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for thee, and be thankful.
Amen.
As our Saviour Christ hath commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee for that thou dost vouchsafe to feed us, who have duly received these holy mysteries, with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favour and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, which is the blessed company of all faithful people, and are also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom, by the merits of the most precious death and passion of thy dear Son. And we most humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship, and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honour and glory, world without end.
Amen. Amen.
And so together we give glory to God. Glory be to God on high, and in earth peace, goodwill towards men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee. We give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every way to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be amongst you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Amen.